everyone. Welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm Pam Stack, your host. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Tonight, I am very excited to have Tammy Kaler with me. She is a thriller novelist who writes her series around race cars, of which I am so fond. Takes me back to my high school days 100 years ago. So don't go away. We're going to talk to Tammy in just a few seconds. Hang in there. We're going to find out all about racing. Wednesday night. I hope you're all doing well. So I get a lot of calls from publicists and publishing houses to interview authors, which I love. I like speaking to all different kinds of writers about all different kinds of stories. But this one in particular piqued my interest immediately. He said, Pam, I have a thriller novelist, a woman who writes about race cars. And I said, okay, I'll book her. He didn't tell me who it was. He didn't tell me anything about her books. And I thought, okay, this is really cool because I like fast cars. So Tammy Kaler is with me tonight. Welcome to Authors on the Air, Tammy.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
I haven't even talked about your books, but I guess I could since that's what you're here for. So your newest book is called Kiss the Bricks, which I love. And you have a series character named Kate Riley, correct? Who is
yes.
a driver.
Yes.
Who's a driver
yes.
in Indy type racing. So this is not your first book. This is your fifth or sixth book now.
Fifth book released
on May 2nd. I have to tell you, I love it. Of course, as you could tell by the picture I tagged you on my Facebook, I like all kinds of cars that go fast. So let's talk about how your love of race cars started.
Sure. It started late in life. It started in 2004, so I was in my 30s. I didn't know anything about racing
uh-huh.
before then, which surprises a lot of people. I was working for a mortgage company, and if you put 2004 and mortgage company together, you'll remember that had a lot of money at the time.
Yeah.
So I was doing freelance marketing writing for them. I mean, that's been my career as a marketing and technical writer. And they started sponsoring a racing team and a racing series that year. And they needed extra hands to go to the races all season and entertain brokers. Yeah. This was the American Le Mans series. So it wasn't IndyCar stuff at the time. It was sports cars. And I sort of looked around and went, well, I like learning new things. I'll go. And I showed up to the American Le Mans series races that year and was treated, I mean, I was representing, you know, a series sponsor. I was a VIP.
Right.
So I got hot laps
sure.
at every track. I met Hall of Fame drivers. You know, I was on the podium giving away pole position awards, you know, that kind of thing. It was unbelievable.
Holy moly.
And so I went.
Wait, you
jumped
in really with both feet, right in the middle of it too.
Exactly. And I was so intrigued and astonished and overwhelmed by this world I hadn't known existed. And really by the combination of sort of, you know, speed and violence and competition and drama and money and glamour and rock stars, combined with the reality of it being a very friendly, family-oriented kind of community and world.
That
made my head spin, and I just thought it was so fascinating, and I wanted to tell other people about it the way I had learned about it, sort of from the inside out. So that was
right.
the genesis.
Wow, what a way to get started, you know, into racing and all. Mine was really easy. I just used to street race with whatever boy I was dating, you know, who had a fast car when I was in high school. And then I live not too far from the stock car races, the roundy rounds. And at night, sometimes if it was real still, you could hear the cars, you know, from the track, probably 3 miles from my house or something. And then the next boy I went out with was into drag racing, and that's where the love of it started. And I learned how to drive a drag car, which is really a lot of fun.
I would say, and you drove. See, here's the secret, Pam.
Oh, yeah.
You're more daring than I am.
Oh, no, I was young.
I'm a chicken.
And stupid. I was 19 years old. Don't kid yourself. It isn't that. You have to go through a school, you know, and it's a quarter mile straightaway, so it's not like you're driving on, you know, you're not driving Le Mans, you're not driving Grand Prix or NASCAR or anything like that.
Right.
So, but you do have to get sanctioned to have an off street car. So I had an NHRA number, but and then
of course,
Miami had the Grand Prix, the downtown Grand Prix, which I was in love with. It was just fast cars. They're beautiful. They're sleek. You know, all the glitterati was there, and the glamour of it all, and I don't even remember. We were with a group of people, and I think tickets are really, you know, like it was the cheap seats. You just go and you go to the stands or something. But we walked around and ended up getting into the pits. And then, of course, I told you before the show, Homestead Miami Speedway was built, my brother's law firm used to get tickets comp for the NASCAR races, which is the last one of the season.
Yeah.
And none of his partners liked racing. So I would say, I'll take the tickets. And, you know, we'd sit in the VIP seats with all the booze flowing and the food over the garages right there outside the pits. It was amazing. Racing cars is fun, but a very expensive proposition to do that.
Oh, my God.
So
you
got motivated to write after that, huh?
I did. I had, funny enough, about a year before that year of racing was the first time I had ever written fiction in my life. I came to that late too, strangely. Although I'd had a career as a writer, it was never of fiction until I was early 30s and suddenly had an idea. And that sort of started me writing a novel, taking a bunch of classes, getting into a writing group, writing a novel that's never going to see the light of day. It was terrible, but it was the learning experience. And, you know, it got me into that headspace and taught me how to do it. I mean, I'm sure every author you speak with has one of those, you know, if not more, under
several
the bed.
They've kept in the bottom desk drawer underneath, like, you know, crushed beer cans and a bottle of bourbon or something. Absolutely.
Right.
Everybody you know, but that was that's your introduction to it all. That's when you get to throw up on the page all the words that are in your head.
Exactly. And know what it feels like to finish something and, you know, to go back to it and try and edit or, you know, evaluate it afterwards. Very valuable lessons.
That's huge, Tammy.
It is. Yeah. I had just completed that manuscript, you know, at least sort of the one and only pass, but I'd sort of gotten to the end of that somewhere in the middle of that racing year. And I, you know, was thinking about what else would I do. And I'm looking around at this world I know I've just been introduced to. And I was meeting women in this world who were not just the Umbrella Girls or the Pirelli Girls or, you know, the ornaments,
right?
I was meeting women who were engineers, who were drivers, who were pace car drivers, who were involved in teams, and I wanted to show more of that. I mean, it was really, I loved talking about this. I loved explaining this fascination I had to people, and I just wanted to share it, and wanted to share especially a woman achieving in that arena.
How cool is that?
And there was a single moment, actually, a defining incident that started me path with Kate Riley that didn't actually, I didn't use it in the first book. It opens the second book. But probably you will remember, a lot of racing fans will remember, in 2004, there was a race at Sonoma Speedway. Was it Infineon at the time? Whatever it was, Sears Point, Sonoma. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. came out and drove a Corvette with the Corvette racing team and crashed.
Yes.
And caught on fire.
Yep.
And it was a crazy day because I didn't really even understand who he was and how big he was at that point. But I drove home that night, and that accident there was no one else involved. It was him on cold tires. It was just, you know, a fluky thing and an accident. No one else was involved. But I drove home that night and I thought, wow, what if someone had hit him and made that happen? Wow, what if it was a rookie? And what if it was a woman? And that started me, like, yeah, what would this, you know, how would people react and what would she have to deal with and where would this go? And so that, again, turned into the second book in the series, Breaking Point. Not Dale Earnhardt literally, but, you know, in spirit, NASCAR's most popular driver. And she actually, it's probably a racing incident, but it's one of those where you could look at it, you know, depending on your favorite, who you take sides with and decide the other person's fault. And the book takes off from there.
And speaking of, he's retired now, and I guess he's doing an HGTV show or something with his wife.
Yeah, next year.
Isn't that weird?
Next year. Well, she's an interior designer, and that's apparently how they met.
Right.
So, yeah.
How bizarre is that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't get to follow it as nearly as much as I would like because I don't own a television. But I'll keep up with the sports news and everything. So, but it, you know, watching on a laptop or a notebook isn't near as much fun as being there in person anyway. And I live in Southwest Florida. The closest track is Sebring, and I have not gone there. I have not. So
it's a fun race, but it is an
they
endeavor.
Are fun. Yeah, boy, you're not kidding. And it's a big money race, too. I always thought, what would I do if I won the lottery? I'd love to have a sponsor a race car team, but probably, you know, drag racing or something because that's in my blood. But it wouldn't necessarily have to be. It didn't have to be a pretty big Powerball lotto for me to win, you know, to do something like that.
Yeah. Well, because it might not go very far for racing sponsorship.
It doesn't
either.
Go very far, does it? It doesn't go very far. I mean, I remember when, even in drag racing, you know, the big auto trailers would pull up and, you know, they'd have a couple different cars in there and a couple different bodies and a bunch of different engines and everything else. And it's the same way, no matter what kind of auto racing there is, it is an expensive operation to keep those four tires on the track. So I want to talk about your character, Kate, and how she was born and kind of give our listeners an idea of who Kate is and what the stories are centered around, if you would please. Just a general, you know, take a look at her.
Sure. Well, Kate Riley, the thing I like to say sort of to encapsulate her, she's a young woman who regularly rides the edge between control and chaos and between speed and death, and that's just her day job. So she is a pro race car driver. In the first book in my series, Dead Man's Switch, she's actually looking for her first big break in sort of the major leagues, if you will, of racing. And that's the American Le Mans series that I referenced before. We sort of catch her at the beginning of that stage of her career. And she, in that book, pulls up to a racetrack and literally, and I do mean literally, bumps into a dead driver. And she ends up taking his seat in the race car. And so the paddock thinks that's, you know, pretty fishy. And she's got to figure out who done it in order to clear her name and be taken seriously and have a future and all that. So, and as the books go on, she does keep that job and keep going with that team that hired her in the first book, and has more and more success. And so she's developing through her career. I've taken her, the five books take her through about 4.5 years, I think, in her career. She's got some family issues that she's dealing with that have both caused her distress and brought some big benefits. When she was born, her mother died a couple days after her birth, and Kate ended up being raised by her maternal grandparents. Her father was never really an issue. He abandoned her basically at her birth, but he shows up again in the first book in my series and wants to start a relationship with her. And that's sort of one of the series-long arcs. You know, you get in each book the story arc that wraps up, but there's this family issue that's going on, And lo and behold, her father is, his family owns a national bank that has a long history of sponsoring racing. So by later in the series, they come on as a sponsor for Kate, and that's part of what gets her to the Indy 500 in the last book or in the most recent book. But there are other branches of her father's family that are not so excited about, the daughter returning or coming back into the fold. And Kate at first isn't either. So she's got some trust issues given all that's gone on.
I would imagine.
But she's young and she's focused, and she wants to be seen as a racer. I mean, she's serious about this and loves her job, loves her career, does everything she needs to do to, you know, make sponsors happy and keep the money flowing. And she's had a lot of good luck, but she's also worked for it. She doesn't get everything right either on the track or off the track. You know, she's an amateur sleuth, so she's not real good at it necessarily. She's getting better. And she's also not perfect, like I said, on the track. One of the things people ask me sometimes is, you know, when are you going to have her win? Because I don't. Because that's not that realistic, well, to be honest. I mean,
it's not realistic. It takes there's only one winner in so many races and a lot of drivers. So, you know, and it's like writing books, you know, the book gods have to be in the right place for your book to be a success,
aligned
the same way as the racing god. Exactly. The racing gods
Absolutely.
Have to be, you know, the track has to, the conditions have to be right, the weather, the temperature, the engine
right.
has to be running right. So it makes sense. And as she's still a rookie, I mean, she's still learning how to be a driver.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And it's not the easiest profession for women. There is a lot of, you know, cronyism, the old boys club kind of going on
Absolutely.
All the time. No matter how supportive
Absolutely.
Some people say they're really not.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, good for you. You've really picked all these different issues to turn into the book, too. I love Kiss the Brick. So let's do a little the elevator pitch on that one and tell us where Kate is, because this one is really interesting, the way that it starts off. And I put the very first paragraph from the synopsis in the description tonight. So I'm going to let you tell listeners. But first, if you're interested in saying hi to Tammy and talking about her books and or race cars, please give us a call at 347-633-9609. I'm going to gift Tammy's current book, the new book, Kiss the Bricks, to the first person who calls. That's 347-633-9609. Okay, Kiss the Bricks. Let's have it.
Yes. Kiss the Bricks finds Kate at the legendary Indianapolis 500 motor race. And as you all may have read on the synopsis, at the start of the book, Kate pulls in after the very first practice for the race that year, and she's stunned to discover that she was the fastest driver in the session. And then she finds out she actually wasn't the first woman to do that. There was a woman named PJ Rodriguez who did it exactly 30 years before Kate. But PJ then shocked everyone by committing suicide 10 days later. So this connection goes viral, okay? This connection between Kate and PJ. And the bloggers pick it up and social media harps on it. The news media talks about it. And what happens is Kate loses her identity. Everyone's suddenly comparing Kate and PJ, and there's a hashtag, call Kate PJ, and people are walking up to her at the racetrack calling her PJ, which they think is hilarious and she thinks is awful. And worse, they're wondering if Kate's going to kill herself too, except that PJ's family turn up and claim that PJ was murdered, and they want Kate's help finding her killer and restoring her reputation 30 years after the fact. So, of course,
oh, wow.
No mystery. Of course that happens. You mystery readers knew that was coming, right?
Good gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
What a great story and a great way to open the book. I mean, you don't start with a whimper. You start with a bang. And and this book really is a lot of fun. It's a really a fun read, and it's got a really good plot twist. There's a lot of story arcs in there. I like the pace of it very, very much.
You
certainly kept me on my toes, and You know, I read a lot of mysteries and all, but you know, and this is a good-sized book. This is not a small book by any chance, but I like the PW review that says, and I'm paraphrasing, Keller handles mm-hmm. the mystery well enough, but the main interest for readers is watching Kate and her entourage painstakingly comb the list of suspects while experiencing all the pre-race hoopla, which there's plenty of, by the way, if you've never been to a race, there really is. It's exhausting
and
thrilling.
The Indy 500.
Yes. I mean, you can be really absolutely unknown to racing. Excuse me. And you would have to know what the Indy 500 is. I mean, honestly.
Right.
It is the biggest race in the country, let's face it.
Well, there's so much tradition and pomp and circumstance, and, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. So have you gone to the Indy yourself?
I have. I went for the first time in 2014, and then I was there again last year once I had basically started writing the book. Last year was the, oh my goodness, I really have to get all the details down, you know, trip.
Right.
And yeah.
Road trip.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what does your husband think about you writing about race cars?
I think he's kind of amused. He's always been a car guy, but he's not
really
a sports guy. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's more about, he finds racing a little frustrating, if we're being honest. Number one, the cost.
Yeah.
His quote is, it costs so much to lose.
Yeah.
You know, can't argue with that.
And of all those drivers, there's only one winner, so it doesn't count if you come in second or third. So,
Yeah, so it's not his thing, but he gets that I really like it, and he's amused, and, you know, follow your dream. It's all good.
There you go. Now, do you think that you would like to go to other types of racing and maybe –
Absolutely.
You do. You want to go to other races.
Oh, yeah.
Susan Marosa Stroker was a guest of mine. Her dad founded Marosa Speedway, and so we talked a lot about, you know, race cars there too. Obviously, you see the connection here. Women who write about cars and women who are connected to cars and everything. And so, all of those people were her when her father was racing. Her brother died in racing, but all of these people, you know, I don't know. I'm connected to women who like fast cars too, and racing and horse racing too. I have a lot of friends who are horse racing fanatics as well. Yeah. So the need for speed is great in me. And I certainly understand it in you.
I get it.
So here's one of my questions to you though, and kind of getting off the topic of your book specifically, but you have now a really strong series character you have so much play with her in the future. You've left the door wide open for all kinds of interesting things to happen to her, whether she wins, whether she continues to drive, whether she gets in an accident, God forbid, whether she, you know, becomes her own, you know, moves on and starts her own team, or whatever it is she's going to do. Have you ever thought about writing a standalone, though, and moving away from Kate to give yourself maybe a wind sprint to do something else, a writing sprint on something else? Or are you firmly entrenched in her still?
No, I have thought about writing a standalone. I'm sort of toying with that idea right now, in fact. And it probably wouldn't have anything to do with racing. I think I want to try my hand at some kind of mystery crime fiction that is not racing. But you know, my heart is still with Kate, and there are still, I mean, goodness, how many fantastic racetracks and races are there around the world? You know, I want to take her to all of them. I mean, I have Le Mans on my list. I want to take her to the Monaco Grand Prix, for Pete's sake, because why not?
I want to
write about NASCAR.
It is amazing.
So, I'm definitely thinking about other things, and I like the way you put it, sort of give myself a break and, you know, do a wind sprint on something else. And
I think I'm
coming up on the time for that.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of writers, you know, they write the same character and then they forget how to write other things. And that's a shame because I think your creativity with a character needs to take, you probably need to take a break every so often and read and write other things just to give yourself, you know, your recharging zone, in other words, you know, which brings me to another question. So speaking of recharging, you know, we hear a lot now about electric cars and autonomous driving cars and so on. How do you think that's going to affect the racing world, or will it?
Well, we're seeing it, you know, with Formula E. We're seeing it affect the racing world to an extent. I mean, I've heard of them talking about, you know, testing an autonomous race car. I don't get that.
Right.
I do not get that.
What's the point? There's no skill.
Right.
It's just who bolts the best race car. There's no skill involved.
We already have radio control cars that you can race. I mean, that's all it is, just larger. I think there will still be an audience for, you know, big, loud engines and cars banging into each other.
I agree.
You know, I am all for a self-driving car because I don't, you know, driving to get somewhere on the streets of the freeway is different than driving for fun. And there will always be people, there will always be, you know, a need or a desire to drive for fun that is separate from, like, getting to the store or getting to work. So, I don't know, I see them coexisting.
I do, too, and I think that's great that you see it, too. There's nothing quite like the smell of burning rubber, you know, on a track.
And race fuel.
For me, it was... Yeah, for me, it was, you know, the smell of a burnout at coming up to the starting line, you know, and pouring water over those big tires and watching them burn rubber and to get traction and nice and sticky and everything. So, and the smell of nitromethane gas, you know, I mean, I love that. I recognize it immediately. a guy I used to date used to fly a radio control aircraft and use nitromethane and I knew what it was, you know, because that's what the drag cars race. So it's interesting to me. When you're not writing, what are you doing?
Mostly reading.
Are you?
We talked about this before the show. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's my first and last hobby and the thing I default to at all times. Reading. Mostly crime fiction. Yeah.
Who are you currently reading?
Who am I currently? I've been rereading Agatha Christie. I just reread the collection of Hercule Poirot short stories.
We were separate at birth. We really were because my first love has always been reading. And after that, you know, boys and cars, because they went hand in hand. But when I got seriously into mystery, I read Agatha Christie, but I read every single one of her 110 books or whatever it was right in a row, because I didn't know that you could read out of series, out of order, but what it did was it gave me an appreciation for the character and the character development.
Right.
Although Christie was not known for character development, she had some very interesting characters, but they were, you know, you could count on them. You knew who they were.
When you talk about characters with her, it's the main couple. It's, you know, Miss Marple and Poirot. That's
and
who you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I loved Poirot. I loved him when he was on PBS. I used to love that show. But I swear to God, you're separated at birth. Sisters from another mother. what would our listeners be surprised to learn about you?
I'm a chicken behind the wheel. I went to racing school because I had to. I'm a complete chicken. I do not race. I don't particularly want to. I am fascinated by it, by, you know, the idea of it's someone's job to go out there and, you know, be so close to the edge that, you know, the wrong puff of wind could spin them out. But I went to racing school, and it was simultaneously the coolest and most terrifying thing I have done in my life. And I was not fast. I was not that good. I wouldn't say I was terrible, because I was probably very careful and precise because I was trying to be so, but I was not fast. And I had this is funny, I had some NASCAR drivers in the school with me.
Really?
That's a good story. David Reagan, one of the current NASCAR drivers occasionally. I don't know who he's racing for this year. Yeah. He and two other guys had won Jack Roush's Driver X reality show. And apparently Jack Roush wanted them to brush up on their road course skills, and so he told them to pick a racing school, and they showed up in mine. Talk about intimidating.
How fascinating is that?
Yeah.
That is very cool, but it scared you to death, huh?
I always
love driving fast.
Oh, it
did. I love going fast.
Well,
I don't like – I grew up in Miami, so there's, you know, it's a race – driving on the highway is like being on a racetrack anyway, and it's definitely it's a combination of offensive and defensive driving when you know
I'm in
you're
LA.
On 95.
I get
something.
That.
Yeah. Oh, so
yeah,
you know. Okay.
I get that. But freeway driving is different than, you know, 120 down the backstretch going into a 90 degree turn.
Well, that's true. This is true.
I don't trust myself. Part of it is, through all of this, is I've come to understand just how talented drivers are. And I know, I understand now the gap between my skill level and theirs. And I know that I can't reach it. And so I just don't even, I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to go sedate.
But don't forget, they also don't write books like you do. So, you know, you've got
algorithm
and trade. You know,
true.
So,
well, I'm just saying, that's what people might be surprised about.
I just think it's funny that you went to driver's school and were petrified. I would have thought that would have made it, you know, I guess you have to walk in your character's footsteps, so that makes sense to me. But just like going to Indy and everything else, you have to be – listen, it works for me. I don't care what you tell your husband. If it gets you to the track, okay, you know. But research, say it's research all you want. Go for it. I don't care. But, but you know, I think that's funny that you're petrified of it and that you live in L.A., and I know what the freeways are like out there. It's crazy.
Well,
And
I'm
the opposite. Where most people don't have driver's licenses in Miami. So, you know, that's like taking your life in your hands anyway. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
fortunately,
you,
I live
I'm
on,
good
on
and
the
I'm
Southwest Coast.
Yeah. I'm comfortable on the freeways here. I mean, that I'm used to.
Right.
And I'm not slow there. It's just the sort of the racing.
Yeah. It is high stakes. I'll tell you, when you look at a race course and the banks are almost completely vertical, and you have to understand that you don't slow down coming into a bank turn like that. You got to put the pedal to the metal then. It's fun. It's really amazing that, you know, you understand gravity better than you ever did. If you've never been a student of science, watch a race car going on a bank turn, and that explains gravity to you really, really well. So,
You're right.
What's next? Have you started book number six? Are you taking a break?
I know that you're
doing a lot of promotion right now, and I appreciate you coming on. So tell me what's happening.
Oh, no. Please do. I have not put fingers to keys yet for book six, but I'm working on sort of the ideas and the plot and what it's going to be. So there's a little bit of a break. Like you said, doing a bunch of promotion. What's coming very soon, though, is going back to Indy this year. And I'll be doing a little bit of promotion and hanging out. And I actually have picked up a little bit of a job. So I will be working in the pits for the broadcast company during the race. Yeah,
how
I did that
wonderful.
Last year. Yeah. Talk about knowing the right person at the right time. So I get to be paid to be in the pits at the Indy 500. Pretty freaking cool.
That is awesome. That is really great. So I want to make a mention also that
you have received accolades big time from Motor Trend Magazine, from the automotive racing associations. They love you. You won a gold medallion for the 24th International Automotive Media Competition. You've been named Best Motorsports Books by American Auto Racing Writers and Broadcasters. So the sports industry people really, really like you a lot. They mention you often. You're always getting accolades from them. Congratulations, because that is kind of a validation that you really know what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, hugely. I mean, I feel like I'm doing the sigh of relief again now. Yes. I mean, especially because, you know, I didn't grow up in this, right? I don't race.
Right.
So it was kind of an audacious goal to say, I'm going to write a book about racing and it's going to be first person inside the head of the race car driver, you know? So that was a big chunk to bite off. And I made the point at my husband's, who's an engineer, his urging, like, I was not going to get this wrong. I had to get this right. It's been a lot of work, but you're right. That's the validation. And I'm just so,
really
so relieved.
People who know the industry who are saying,
right.
Oh yeah, this makes sense. This is exactly what would happen. It's kind of like when I read someone's review on crime fiction and they used a gun that like doesn't have a safety or something, and
right.
Everybody writes in and says, "What's wrong with you?" You know, but you're getting it right, which is why you absolutely must go to more racetracks, and I'll you know call your husband and explain that to him, that writers have to walk in their characters' footsteps. Otherwise, what's
yeah.
the point?
Right, right. Well, and I do want to say one of my points about this is you know, I wanted to get it right for my friends and readers in the racing world. But I also, you know, I'm a reader first and foremost. I like reading things. I like learning things through books, through fiction.
Sure.
And so
absolutely,
I wrote the kind of book I wanted to read where, you know, a woman gets ahead and achieves personal triumph and the reader learns something. And I couldn't make it wrong if I was going to try and teach you something, because I didn't want readers to go off and think they'd learned the right thing, you know, but have it be wrong. So
exactly.
I wanted to be telling everyone the truth. You know, heck, I learned about steeplechasing from Dick Francis, right? And everything I know about steeplechasing
absolutely.
Comes from Dick Francis.
I had no idea what steeplechase was, because it used to be the
right.
name of a ride that sat next to the drag park where we used to go. It was kind of like a roller coaster, but it was called the steeplechase. And yes, indeed, you did sit on something that resembled a horse, but I had no idea what it was. Dick Francis had to teach me that.
Right.
So
right.
I swear to God, are you sure you weren't born in Miami? You're really,
I
swear
to God, I so was
weird.
Not. I'm a California
like
girl.
Exactly the same. Same things. I'll tell you, that's just amazing to me. So what's next for you? Are you appearing anywhere that we can tell people about?
I've got a couple appearances here in Southern California. I'll be down in San Diego at Mysterious
okay.
Galaxy this Saturday, and in Huntington
great.
Beach at Mystery Inc. the weekend after,
very
and
good.
then I go to Indianapolis. So I will be at the racetrack for sure for Friday carb day and Sunday race day, but I've also got an event at the Carmel Clay Public Library in the suburb of Carmel outside of Indianapolis on Thursday the 25th at 11. And that's a great
We can
group,
find all of these on your website?
Indeed you can, yes.
So,
yes.
Okay, give everybody your website, please.
TammyKaehler.com. It's TammyKaehler.com.
And you are also where in social media?
I am on Twitter at TKaehler and on Facebook, Tammy.Kaehler. And on Instagram, I'm actually KateRiley28.
How cool is that? Now, I don't do Instagram because it's like a learning curve that I'm unwilling to attempt at this point. But
I get it.
I don't do a ton.
I'm less rigorous there, but yeah.
I would love to talk to you after you come back from Indy, and maybe you'll blog for our newsletter
and tell us what the experience is like as a reader and as a writer and as a media person. It would be tons of fun to get a, you know, hear your thoughts on that. So you and I will definitely be in touch. I cannot thank you enough for being with me. I haven't had this much fun in an interview, and I can't remember when. And I've kept you way longer than I told you I would, and I apologize for
that. No problem.
But it was so worth it.
No problem.
It was so worth
it.
And
it was fun to talk
to
you.
And come back. Come back. And by the way, if there's somebody really cool that you meet and you want to interview them, invite them on the show. I'll set it up. You can be the guest host and interview them. How would that be?
Okay. Really, how from the book world or from the racing world?
Anybody you want. Anybody you want.
All right.
Come back
and
take a turn behind the microphone.
I know a woman who's racing the 500.
Well, there you go. How would you like to interview her?
Well, we'll talk.
Okay. I'll send you my number and we'll talk for sure.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds
thanks
perfect.
So much. Author, best-selling
thank
author,
you,
Tammy
Pam.
Keller. She's at Poison Pen Press. And have fun at Indy. You know, kiss the bricks for me, baby. Okay?
Will do. Thank you, Pam. So glad
bye,
to be
Tammy.
Here.
Bye, Tammy. Have a good night. Bye.
All right, you too. Bye.
Good night. And that's our show for tonight, folks. I'm so glad that you're with me. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a great week. Pick up a good book and read it and tell me all about it. Thanks so much, and thank you, Mom and Dad.